The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. Live in the Israel Update with Anthony Rice, only on High FM.
Anthony Rice, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Okay, Tov, Howard, good, thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Yes, excellent, thank you. Getting straight into the stories, Russian President Putin is reported to have offered Israel that Iran will withdraw its influence from Syria in exchange for a reduction of American sanctions on Iran. When was this offer made?
So it seems as if this probably came out during the recent ad hoc meeting that was held between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Putin in Paris last week, during the time that all the leaders were in Paris and marked the 100 years since the end of the First World War. That's what we think, although it's not very clear, because this was a discussion that was held apparently yesterday at a closed session of the Knesset's Foreign and Security Committee meeting. Prime Minister Netanyahu was apparently explaining to the members of that committee that this offer was made by the Russian president. And it seems a slightly strange offer in many respects. I mean, obviously, we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been talking a lot with President Putin about Iran in Syria and how close the Iranian forces are to the Israeli border in Syria, and the extent to which Iran is actually influencing events that are happening in Syria. And Israel is clearly very dissatisfied with those events and has been known to dip into Syria from time to time in order just to make sure that the Iranian forces are aware of the fact that, Israel is watching very carefully, and that any buildup of Iranian troops or Iranian ammunition, Iranian armaments along that border with Israel would not be tolerated. And so this has been an ongoing discussion. In parallel to that, we know that the Americans have snapped back the sanctions on Iran. And even though Iran has come out very gung-ho about these sanctions, saying, you know, that Iran will survive and everything will be okay, it seems now that this is an admission of some sort that Iran really will be suffering under these American sanctions, and is even prepared to give up at least some of its influence in Syria just in return for America reducing the sanctions that have been applied on Iran, which really haven't even bitten yet. They've only just recently been applied. The second round was applied only a week or two ago. So, you know, even though those sanctions are yet really to have their full effect, it seems as if the Iranian regime is already nervous about exactly what it's going to do to the Iranian economy. There is, you know, there are obviously some problems with the offer that's been made, and my suspicion is that Israel wouldn't even consider asking the United States to come to the party on this one. Obviously, the quid pro quo seems uneven. In other words, it's America that's got to give up on the sanctions in return for what would be an advantage to Israel. And that advantage is not exactly clear, because even though Iran might give up some of its influence in Syria, and, you know, there is a question mark as to whether they would really do that honestly, or whether they would somehow try beneath the surface to continue their influence in a less visible way. But let's not forget that Iran continues to influence terrorism, not only around Israel, but around the world. Hamas is being financed and helped by Iran. Hezbollah in Lebanon is being financed and helped by Iran, in addition to what's going on in Syria. And that's only just the tip of the iceberg. So it seems to me as if this particular offer is not going to be accepted, but it still is quite interesting.
It really is fascinating, because it's an admission of so many things. You know, and also the fact that, Russia can control, that's now openly acknowledged, that Russia can control where Iran is placing itself internationally, I also find interesting.
Well, obviously, I mean, we know that Russia and Iran are working very closely together. And I don't know whether simply removing Iran from Syria really is the answer to all of Israel's problems. You know, we do know, for example, that if that Russia is arming Iran, that, you know, not only the S-300 that's been put into Syria, but also many, many other arms, ammunition and military hardware that's been provided to Iran for use who knows where. So, you know, I think that this is the tip of the iceberg where Iran's influence around world terrorism is concerned. But you're right. I mean, it does show Russia's influence. It does show what Iran's thoughts are in some respects, again, about those American sanctions. And it shows also that there is some level of understanding and acceptance of Israel's position that Iran should really not be in Syria. But obviously that's now being used as a lever, as some sort of a lever against Israel, knowing that that might well be a trigger point for Iran to get its own way on other things.
Really, really fascinating, and it'll be an interesting. This will be an interesting story to follow. The Israel's Air Force Elite Airborne Combat Search and Rescue Unit 669 held its first international training exercise in Israel. Are other countries involved in this?
There were a number of other countries, search and rescue units from different countries involved. There were representatives from the US, from Italy, from Croatia, Czech Republic, Canada, and also the Netherlands. And they came not only to observe, but even to participate in the exercise that was really conducted by and large, mostly by the unit 669, which is very, very famous in Israel for its combat search and rescue. This is a unit that's also called Sky Angels, and they have been involved in search and rescue not only around Israel but indeed around the world. They've gone off to many of the disasters that have taken place around the world, whether they be earthquakes or other natural disasters, volcanoes and things like that, and they've been present in so many countries around the world, and they've made such a good name for themselves, you know, along with some of the other IDF elite search and rescue units, of which there are four all in all. So this one is just the airborne unit. And I think it's interesting that they've decided to work alongside the rescue units of other countries, not only to share information, but potentially even to reveal some secrets, because inevitably these are exercises which will reveal secrets, but also for the Israelis to learn from the other countries who also have a good experience in this field. So I think this is all very positive. It gives, you know, creates good relationships between the various countries who are involved. It allows Israel to show some of its expertise and also learn from other people. It's not only about counterterrorism, it's also about combat medicine and parachuting and scuba diving and rappelling and all other kinds of other activities that this unit is called upon to do. Interesting, the unit was only formed in 1974 after the end of the Yom Kippur War, and along with the other three IDF special units that conduct search and rescue, these guys do an amazing, amazing, amazing job, not only in Israel, but indeed around the world.
Absolutely incredible. And speaking about around the world, the Israeli Foreign Ministry has appointed an Arab Christian diplomat as an ambassador for the very first time.
So this, for me, is a hugely fascinating story, because I think it says so much about Israel and about the democracy that we live in. It also talks a little bit about the individuals who are coming through the system in Israel. It's about Arab Christian diplomatic George Deek, a young man who has really shown himself to be something of a superstar within the foreign ministry. He comes from a family in Jaffa, Arab Christian family in Jaffa, and he has been in the foreign ministry now for the last 10 years, first of all working as a lawyer. He not only has a law and a degree from the IDC in Herzliya in Israel, but he indeed is also has also attended Georgetown University, where he won a Fulbright scholarship, and he got international. He completed graduate studies in international law with honors. So he's really been a superstar, a student, and also a superstar within the foreign ministry, having first worked as a lawyer. And more recently, he's been the deputy ambassador on two postings, one in Nigeria and Abuja, and the other in Norway. He's been in Oslo. And in fact, interestingly, during 2014, when he was temporarily head of the mission in Oslo as a result of the ambassador not being present, he had to handle everything that related to Operation Protective Edge during that period. And he also had to organize a visit by former state president Shimon Peres, who came along to visit Norway during that time. And he apparently won a lot of accolades for the work that he did, and indeed won even Outstanding Employee of the Year at the foreign ministry for the work that he did. So, you know, I think that it's a wonderful thing to see a young man like George Deke come through the system of the foreign ministry. It doesn't matter that he's not Jewish. It doesn't matter where he comes from, what his family comes from. He's proven himself, and I think that this is a great beacon. This is a great indicator of what Israel's democracy really is all about, that he is someone who can go out and represent the Jewish state of Israel in his posting. He's going to be posted as the ambassador to Azerbaijan as his first full ambassadorial job. And I think that, you know, we as Israelis, whether we're Jewish or whether we're Muslim or whether we're Arabs or whether we're Christians, are all very pleased to have somebody like him representing our case at that embassy in Azerbaijan.
Absolutely fantastic. If I remember correctly, the last ambassador, Israeli ambassador to South Africa, Arthur Link, was also ambassador to Azerbaijan. If I remember correctly, I might be wrong, but that certainly
I'm not does sure, sound. But I bow to your knowledge on this, Howard. I can't remember exactly what Arthur's postings were before he came to South Africa.
The other fascinating story, which shouldn't really surprise me because that's what it's part of a national pastime. The Israeli National High School debating team was crowned the Euro Open champions after winning the competition that was held in Germany. Tell us about this.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just another little accolade that you know, is nice to talk about after having, you know, spoken for so many weeks and months about heavy political subjects and security-related issues. It's nice once in a while to take a little bit of a step back and look at some of the other activities that are going on within Israel and cultural activities in particular, and some of the achievements that Israelis are managing to have around the world. And this is, of course, the National High School Debating Team. They went off to Stuttgart in Germany, and for the first time, they managed to win that competition for Israel. They were one of 37 or 38 teams that were competing in this debating competition, including Germany and China and the US, who apparently were some of the stronger teams that were competing there. And the interesting thing about the Israeli team is that there were 12 rounds that the teams had to participate in, and that the Israeli team managed to get through all 12 rounds without any defeats at all. They were unbeaten in all of those 12 rounds, which is a very rare achievement in a debating competition. And let's not forget about the fact that they were debating in English.
I was going to question that, because, I mean, this is in Germany. You're talking about people from China. Is the medium English?
The medium is English. And of course, it's much more difficult for those people who are not native English speakers, as you would expect, to compete. So, of course, you know, it's even a greater achievement when you consider that countries like the US and the UK and others who are native English speakers, you would imagine would have something of an advantage because of the control of the language that's used for the debate. But in this case, the Israelis, even though it was their second language, did manage to come through. And I understand now that the next step for them is to go off to Sri Lanka to the World Championships, which are due to be held next year. That's going to be an interesting situation in and of itself, given that Israel doesn't have diplomatic relations with Sri Lanka. So we are going to observe that one quite carefully to see how the Sri Lankan government will respond to the situation that the Israeli debating team now, as the European champions, will come along there to compete. But again, it's a very nice accolade for Israel and for Israel's youngsters. You're right. I mean, it is a national pastime. People like to debate.
I mean, I think every taxi driver could win this, really, if one thinks about it.
Well, isn't that like a requirement to be a taxi driver, that you have been through some debating coaching, so that
definitely.
You know, whatever your passenger says in the back, you can immediately contradict what they've said.
Right. I mean, I know that, when people debate, you know, going to live in Israel and they're concerned about the schooling system and is it up to standard, I always say to them, like, what are you talking about? Have you ever met an Israeli who doesn't know everything?
Well, we can talk about the schooling system in Israel because I've got some strong views on that, not necessarily all positive. But one thing which is correct, you know, that you referred to, is that Israeli youngsters have an unbelievable confidence. When they come out and say something, they really sound like they know what they're talking about, even if they don't necessarily. But they really say it in a way that's immensely convincing and very confident indeed. So I think that there is something about this confidence confidence which has come through now in this debating competition and really seems to have paid off for the high school team.
Absolutely fantastic, and well done to them. Anthony Rach, we covered quite a lot of subjects this morning. Thank you for that. We'll chat to you tomorrow, same time, same place. We speak to Anthony Rach Monday through to Thursday. He brings us the Israel report on these days, keeps us up to date in some detail as to some of the big stories that are happening in Israel. Anthony, you have a fantastic day, and we'll speak to you tomorrow.